Michael Bluestein, the man behind the ivories for the legendary rock band and 2024 Hall of Fame rock and roll nominees, Foreigner. They're coming to town May 10th, playing Rogers Place. Dante, and welcome to 89.3 The Raven, Michael.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
And just a correction, well, not correction, an addendum to rock and roll nominees. We are now rock and roll Hall of Fame inductees.
Inductees. Congratulations. Awesome.
Thank you.
Now, firstly, I know you've probably heard it 1,000 times in recent weeks, regarding the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This was beyond overdue for Foreigner, but now that it's here, how does it feel for you guys to be among this year's inductees for the Hall of Fame?
That's pretty amazing. You know, it's one of those things, you know, I tried not to think about it too much because, you know, we've been out there rocking and playing, you know, for these amazing sold out crowds in the past. You know, there's been some politics and hidden reasons why certain bands may or may not get in. But, you know, not to be inducted now is just incredible. And, you know, we're in touch with a few of the original guys. Al Greenwood, the original keyboard player, is a good friend of mine. And, you know, I got on the phone with him. We kind of celebrated a bit together and super psyched for those guys and for all of us to be part of a real special night in Cleveland.
Awesome. Now, that brings me to this question. You know, the faces within Foreigner, they've obviously changed and evolved through the years, like so many legendary rock bands, and yourself jumping on board in the mid-2000s. But a question that kind of lingers in my mind is, do people like Lou and Al and Dennis, do they show up to the ceremony, or do they just sort of get a shout-out for all their years involved and their contributions to Foreigner?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have all the details yet, but my understanding is it's very much going to involve all the surviving original members.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, Lou, Dennis, Al Greenwood, Rick Wills, pretty confident those guys will all be there.
Awesome. Now, you joined in 08. Let's go back to that time. What was your initial reaction to being invited to play in a powerhouse band like Foreigner? And take us back to how that first happened.
So I was recommended to audition at the time. I was playing keyboards with Enrique Iglesias. And that had been a real fun, cool gig and traveled the world with him. But, you know, I was put on in the running to audition for Foreigner. And, you know, when the opportunity came, he's like, you know, I've got to go for this. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. And playing with Enrique was a great gig at the time. But, you know, so when I got the gig and they chose me to be the keyboard player, I just, you know, I couldn't say no and had to do it. So, yeah, I mean, just fantastic opportunity to play all these classic legendary tunes, you know, tunes that I grew up with as a kid in the late 70s, you know, in high school in the 80s, you know. So, you know, it's just real kind of dream kind of gig to get.
What is it like playing some of the most recognized songs on the planet day in and day out?
Yeah, it is pretty magical, sort of like cheating in a way, because you're not winning anybody over with something that maybe they don't know that well or don't know at all. And it's just like every song from top to bottom of a show is songs that they know really well. They're all hits, you know, if not top charting hits, tunes that have been in, you know, heavy rotation and classic rock radio, you know, Long, Long Way From Home, Jukebox Hero. Those are kind of examples of tunes that didn't necessarily chart as huge top 10 singles or anything, but just were played all the time and are still played all the time, you know? So, and then of course, all the rest of the ones that actually did chart real high in the pop charts, you know, Hot Blooded, Feels Like the First Time. As you said, I Want to Know What Love Is, Waiting for a Girl Like You, you know, Double Vision,
yeah.
Head Games, Cold as Ice, yeah, Virgin.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just like, yeah, like we're saying top to bottom, they're just all really well-known songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, every you look out, everyone's singing, everyone knows from the first note, they know what it is. And that's, you know, that's a pretty special experience to be, you know, a lot of, you know, for anyone, you know, to even just to get one big hit in the music biz is a huge accomplishment. You know, I always felt like sort of like one hit wonders was sort of like this negative thing, pejorative kind of insult thing, but like to actually get a hit in the music business, even if it's one, you're among the, you know, the 0.0001% of musicians out there if you do that. But, you know, then to have, you know, 12-13 huge songs that everybody knows, I mean, it's just kind of staggering. Like, you know, to be in that situation is amazing.
You know, those first few years, would you just sit back and be like, wow, I'm playing with Mick Jones and these guys. Or did that novelty feeling kind of wear off after the course of a few years?
Maybe the initial sort of goosebumps and kind of otherworldliness of it faded a little bit, but it gets rekindled every night, every time, by exactly what we're saying. Just kind of that knowledge and that realization when you look out that everybody's singing along with everything, and there's just such a, you know, it's such a special thing, and it that I get reminded of that every night, and it rekindles that wonder for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're obviously younger than some of the members who date back to, you know, in the late 70s when they were in their prime, and then in the 80s. Who were some of your musical influences when you were younger growing up?
So I started on classical piano. So initially, the rock stars for me were Mozart and Beethoven and Chopin and Schubert and guys like that. When I was nine, when I started, you know, but I always had the radio on, and I was always listening to stuff, and my mom, you know, had a great vinyl collection and was always playing, you know, Stevie Wonder. Inner Visions was a big album for me, you know, Paul Simon, Still Crazy After All These Years, you know, Don McLean, American Pie.
Yeah.
You know, all that sort of like that great, I loved all that 70s soft rock stuff, Jim Croce, Cat Stevens, mm-hmm. Gordon Lightfoot, stuff like that. But then, you know, I discovered The Who and Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and all that stuff, and you know, loved that. And then, you know, The Police and U2. And then I started getting more into jazz. I discovered Steely Dan, and that kind of got me more into the jazz thing, because they were always guys that were, you know, groove and rock guys, but they really integrated, and there was a real sophistication in the chord choices, and that, as a piano player, that really caught my ear, and I gravitated toward that. And then when I went to college, I was studying jazz piano, going back to the masters, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, all those, the bebop era, Charlie Parker and all that stuff, and, you know, Oscar Peterson and Kelly Phil Evans and Herbie Hancock, who played with Miles in the 60s, and Keith Jarrett and people like that. So I was really studying all those guys, and, you know, and then, but, you know, it's funny, like, with all the different things, doing classical music, doing jazz, whatever, the pop song, the rock song was always there. It was always, I'd always be in the, you know, listening to that stuff on the radio, too. You know, I kind of was never a purist about any of that stuff that I was studying. I would love to always studying that stuff, but I always seem to come back to great songs, you know. So, yeah, it's changed. So who the rock stars are for me, it has changed over the years, but I do seem to come back to great rock, hooky rock and pop songs, and, you know.
No, that's awesome. Even for me, you know, I thought I was weird by, you know, like, again, I grew up loving this stuff, the softer stuff, James Taylor, that sort of stuff, and then went through these phases, and I'm like, oh, I see, this is normal for people just to, like, change throughout time and their influences, right? So that's good to hear.
Definitely.
Yeah,
it keeps it interesting.
Yeah, you know? Now for gear, can we talk about how great the Korg M1 was in the 80s and the 90s?
Oh, wow, yeah. So I had a Korg O1W, which was the next iteration after the M1. It was like the kind of the M1 on steroids.
Yes, right? I have one.
Oh, yeah, sounds about right. Mine had the floppy disk drive in it, the O1W FD for floppy disk.
Oh, okay. Your favorite studio keys and live keys. What are your favorite studio keys and live keys?
Okay, so right now, you know, fast forward to 2024.
Yeah,
a lot of computer based stuff. So MainStage, Logic MainStage, is a kind of a sort of at the heart of the keyboard rig. I'm running a lot of software synthesizers off the Mac, which are controlled by two keyboards that are just master keyboards that aren't. I'm not using any of the internal sounds. I'm just triggering the software synths in the Mac. So a lot of the stuff is in the Macs, but then I also have two additional keyboards that are where I am using the internal sounds, and that's a Nord Stage 5 and a Korg, speaking of Korg, Kronos.
Oh, nice.
So those are the four keyboards I'm using now. I was going to say, and I do have a keytar. I play keytar.
Oh, yeah, the keytar.
On a song now, too.
What song do we expect that one on?
I shouldn't give you the spoiler, but I will. It's urgent.
Okay, awesome. We can't wait to see the guitar. I love the guitar.
Yeah.
Once again, chatting with Michael Bluestein from the legendary rock band Foreigner. They're coming to Rogers Place, playing on May 10th. Thanks, Michael, for taking the time to chat with our listeners and for reliving the soundtrack to so many of our lives, and we can't wait to see you guys in a couple weeks.
You got it, man. We're pumped to head up there.